Hello and welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. My guest for today is Lydia Davies, CEO and founder of the Teammates app, a sports meetup platform that connects people by way of athletic activities. Lydia joins the show today to discuss her entrepreneurial journey, which includes everything from international pop star to realtor and now startup founder. She also shares what people can expect from Teammates, which has evolved from focusing on golf to adding more and more sports meetup and events. Hi, Lydia. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me, Natalie. I'm so excited to be on here.
I know. I feel like we've talked about doing this for a while now. So it's good we're finally doing it, especially since I'm very interested in your career and Teammates and what you're doing with that. But we're going to get to that later. What I want you to talk about is your career path, because you've been a lot of things. You've been pop star, which is my favorite fun fact about you. You've been a realtor and now you're a startup founder. So talk us through your journey, because I do think there's almost like an entrepreneurial thread throughout your career. Like you're very much a go-getter, self-starter. So tell me about that wild ride.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a thread in my life, is the entrepreneurial spirit. When I was young, we traveled a lot. And so I actually spent a lot of time in high school in Singapore. And when I was there, I was involved in a lot of like music stuff. And I'd been doing a lot of dance and theater and whatnot in all the international schools I'd been to. And I decided, you know, as a lot of people did back then when Britney Spears was around, that I wanted to be a singer-songwriter. And so I taught myself how to do production and I did all of my own stuff. I made my own EP. So at just 16, I was already like creating a business. I branded myself. I did the marketing. I made all these CDs because at the time, you know, it was a CD time. And I sent off all these CDs to all these record labels in the UK and in America. And I just created this whole brand of my performing artists. So I ended up going to college in the UK and got a management there, a management company. And I started my own like little record label, and everything was like very Lydia-ish. Like everything was, you know, the dances were choreographed by me. The whole production of the shows, I would go and like perform all over the place in different clubs and venues. And that was all just kind of built up from the brand I had created in my family house in Singapore. So it was definitely the way that I started being an entrepreneur. I ended up doing that for 12 years. And during then, I had lots of kind of like different directions with it. Like I would do fashion stuff and then production stuff and songwriting stuff. And funny enough, when I reached the peak that I had tried to achieve, I had a hit single in the UK for a little while. That was when I'd actually given in and signed with a big label and given up my entrepreneurial side of it. So that was the time that I peaced out and I was like, I'm done with this industry. So what I started to notice was that if I wasn't the one with the creative control and the like letting my own ideas flow, that it maybe wasn't the right thing for me. So from then on, I started teaching performing arts all around the place. And I actually had my own little performing arts academy in Houston when I first moved here in 2015. I had that for 3 years. It was a dance studio, performing arts studio, which I also did, obviously, the branding, the marketing, the curriculum, everything. I had over 100 students and it was super cute. I loved it. But I wasn't quite bringing in the revenue. That was actually I don't like to call it a failure, because I loved the business so much and I learned so much from it. But I hadn't really thought about the roadmap of how to expand and scale it. So it got to a point where I had this cute little system going on and I was making, you know, some revenue with it, but there was no way to move forward from there. And so when the landlord decided to sell the building I rented the studio from, I closed it and said goodbye to it and moved on to my next journey of real estate and then the Teammates app, which is my now full-time gig.
So what attracted you to, because I feel like there is a level of entrepreneurialism in real estate too, because you really are, you're a one person team in a lot of cases, depending on how it's set up.
Real estate is totally very much yourself. I mean, you have to, even though you have a, you're under a brokerage, you still have to create your own package of who you are. So I started being like the relocation expert, so they say, because I had moved so many times, so I could help people understand like when their shipments would get here and what schools they needed to go to, et cetera, et cetera. And you create all your own branding and logo and marketing around that. So it really is your own small business within a business. So yeah, that's, I mean, it's also really an entrepreneur's job as well.
So then tell me about teammates, because I know, like most founders, this came from an idea you had, and you turned it into a business. So tell me about that aha idea, light bulb moment.
Yeah, it was actually really funny because I remember this so well. It was during the lockdown of COVID. My husband and I were in the kitchen, and our kids were only, I think, 1 and 2, and they were no, maybe yeah, 1 and 2, and they were like running in circles around the kitchen, screaming because their daycare was closed during the lockdown. And he's like going crazy. I can tell he's about to lose it. And I was like, "Hey, wouldn't it be cool if you could like find someone in the neighborhood to go and golf with that you didn't know golfed?" Because I couldn't find any females to play with, and I'd picked up the game living in the Middle East. And he was like, "What are you talking about?" Like yelling at me over the kids. "What do you mean?" And I was like, "Teammates." And so it was kind of built from there. And he was like, "Oh, that's a really good idea." So I started building the app like right then and there in this tornado of noise and chaos. And it kind of just became my sanity during that like first COVID time because I had something to like really work on and build while the real estate market was a little slow and everything was going crazy. So I really put my head down and like made all the wireframes and everything then. And then we realized, you know, when he was traveling for work, it would be super useful. Or when people moved to a new town, it would be so useful. And for adults, it's so hard to find new friends and to find people to do sports with. It's such an easy thing as a kid. And then you become an adult, and all of a sudden, it's like, well, I'd really like to go like try this new running trail, but I don't really want to go by myself. And it's just so hard to connect at this age. So, I figured once I did the golf one, I would eventually expand it to all sports, which is what I've now done. But we launched with just golf in the beginning. And, you know, I started doing a girls and golf series at Memorial and got so many females into the sport that had been actually dying to try it, but just didn't know where to start or how to do it.
So I wonder if, since you're obviously, you've come a bit of ways from that original idea, how did execution change that original idea? You know, what did you think it would like, or maybe it didn't change that much, but did you see an evolution from idea to reality when developing teammates?
Yeah, so when I first launched the golf app, it was really just because I found that that sport specifically was hard to find people to play with, and I really felt uncomfortable going up to the tee box with a bunch of strangers. So that was just like a natural prototype for the app for me. I thought it was a really good way to test out to see if it would work. And it did, and it, you know, we got a lot of users and it seemed to work really well, but during that time, and you always have to keep an eye on competition. During that time, after I launched it, I started hearing of some other people developing the same thing. Some of them had a lot of money and power behind them. And I thought, you know, this is a really good time for me to pivot into a multi-sports app, which is really what I wanted to do anyways, because I'm not just a golf lover. I love all sports and I play almost every sport. So I was super pumped to be able to redo it in an accelerator I was in with Softech and redid the whole app from scratch and made it what I really wanted to make the original one. And so now, you know, I can do, you can play pickleball, you can ski, you can surf, you can run. We're about to add tennis. So it's really fun and it's user interactive because the users will vote now on what sport they want to add each quarter. So like tennis was, has been the front runner. It's like a giant battle between the tennis players and the pickleball players. It's really funny. And then eventually we'll just keep adding on more sports. And because you can filter by your sports, if you just want to follow one of them, it will only show you the meetups and social feed for that, for those sports that you follow.
I think that it's such an interesting concept because it's in this unique vertical of apps that take people from online to offline. And that's kind of such a challenge, especially in this post-pandemic world of like, we want to meet people, but it's like, I think it's hard, and it's hard to even kind of go out there and put yourself out there. So what unique challenges did you see trying to get people to actually engage and show up? And then how do you factor in your own presence in the community? Because I know you host events pretty frequently. So I guess maybe those things go in hand of getting to translate the digital community into a physical in-person community.
Yeah. So actually the adoption period has been, it's been really interesting to watch because I knew it would be a little difficult to get people to post their own stuff. So what I noticed on the golf one and on this new one was that people will join the meetups that I post or my partner posts, or like the teammates page posts, and they'll come and they'll show up, but they won't post their own. So I started to kind of figure out it was a confidence thing. I asked around at the people that had joined and said, like, would you post your own? And they're like, well, what if nobody joins it? So I think it's a little bit of fear of critical mass because they're worried that, like, you know, we don't, it's a startup. So maybe we don't have enough people to join whatever event they post. And then also just a fear of like, meeting people and being nervous around people. So that's like when I try and explain, like I try and normalize it and explain that the sport is the icebreaker. You don't even have to talk if you don't want to. You can just say, hey, my name is so-and-so. And then you go and play a pickleball game. And eventually you bond through that activity without even speaking at all, because you're watching each other and playing with each other and challenging each other. And that's what most of the users have found when they've come and join things. I had this guy come and join my pickleball game, and I could tell he was a little nervous when he came. But after, he was like, that was so much fun. And I just moved here from another country and I don't have any friends. So that was really cool. And he posted his own one after that. And then, so it's really just normalizing it because there is so much tension and fear after COVID of just communicating and connecting. And, you know, people just seem to feel a bit more insecure. So that was like a lot of the push for me is I didn't want people to feel that way. And so I wanted to create a community where they felt they could just show up and be a part of the group because they're joining in the activity together.
Yeah, that's so true. I feel like at this point I joined a cycle studio, and now, not now, but like immediately, so much of my friends group were people from that cycle studio. And now,
yeah,
like 5 years later, they're still some of my closest friends, and people will be like, how did you guys meet? And I'm like, how did we meet? And it's so funny to trace back to that because it's like we worked out together, but it's such an identifying community when you find someone who does something that you like to do. It bonds you pretty quickly. And it's like,
it does. It really does. It really does bond you. Just playing one round of golf with people, like you can become buddies with them forever. I mean, it's like activity and fun. That's the like one thing I'm like, the adults have to have fun. They have to. And there's so, like, there's, it's lacking so much. And it doesn't have to be fun, just like going out to bars to drink. Like sports and activities are fun, and competition's fun, and learning something new is fun.
Yeah. Activities are fun. So I guess, and you've kind of touched on this a little bit, but what's the feedback you've gotten from people, or maybe even like partners you've tapped into, or I guess, I don't want to say venues, but like if you kind of tap into the community, different places that you're going or are hosting events at, for instance, but what feedback do you get from users, I guess, and has it evolved over time?
Yeah, we get a lot of feedback because people like to, you know, put in their word, which I love. On the golf app, I would send every single new user a personal message asking them for feedback because I really wanted to learn and grow. A lot of it's been like technical, like your app could be faster, this could be this way, so it's easier flow, which is totally fair. And I always note it down and send it to the developers. And then a lot of it has been, you know, can we add this or can you do an event here? And suggestions for us, which I also love, are actually the Pickle Fest that we had a few weeks ago was based on user suggestions. They kept all saying like, we want a pickleball tournament. So that's why we created the festival. And I've noticed over time since, because the golf one was originally launched a year and a little bit ago now. And I noticed at the beginning of that, people were less confident. And I have noticed a shift to it getting back to where it was before the pandemic, which is awesome. That makes me so happy. But people are definitely more interactive and want to get out more. We're about to launch a new Gals and Golf series, which we already have like a wait list for. So people are like keen to join and they'd really want to get together and play sports. And the event thing is a really huge thing. Like we're having a triathlon, not a traditional triathlon, a golf pickleball running triathlon in the summer. And there's a lot of people interested in that kind of stuff.
I think that's, I can only imagine how helpful that is for maybe people who've just moved to Houston, who not only don't know where, or not only don't know how to like connect with people, but they also don't even know where to go. So like just having, being able to join an event, then you get to know the place, part of town, for instance.
Yeah. And the part it's been great because in Houston, well, just actually generally nationwide, we've had so many people that are so keen to partner up, so many businesses, like apparel companies and breweries and whatnot, because they're just like, yeah, sports, it's so fun. So that actual side of the business has been the easiest part of the business is partnering with other brands, venues, and businesses, which is great.
So tell me a little bit about how like the platform itself has evolved. I know you just rolled out new features and obviously now tennis too. So what can maybe existing users expect from the latest from teammates?
Yeah, so we now have our full rewards program for the two types of rewards we have. We have an app to user rewards. There's a leaderboard and a new challenge bi-weekly. So a new challenge is starting in about 48 hours, and there's a prizes from our partners. So this time it's going to be a Kobe Stevens visor and one of our pickleball t-shirts and then a mystery prize. We like to throw in some mystery prizes. And you can earn rewards on the app by joining meetups, posting on the social page, posting your own meetup. It says all the points in the challenge. And then we also just added mate medals, which is like a medal bank. You can buy these mate medals, they're only 50 cents each, and you can reward people that you play with or that you meet. So say you and I played a pickleball game together. I'd never met you before. I thought you were super fun and nice. I can click on your profile and it says reward and I can give you a mate medal and it will show up on your profile. So it's kind of like a soft rating system to show that like, maybe if you had 20 mate medals, someone might think, oh, she'll be great to play pickleball with. So it's just kind of a fun concept to add in there to let people feel like they were rewarded for showing up. And those will eventually be able to be turned into cash to buy stuff in our loyalty program, which is really exciting. And we also just launched our Web3 NFT memberships at the Pickleball Festival, which we'll be uploading to all the users' phones this week, which is an exclusive community for people that show up to our events, and they get social drops and discount drops from our partners. So like one day it might show up that you have like a 25% discount at an apparel company, and you get, if you're a Teammates X member, you get to use it. NFTs are really, it's a really fun usage of NFTs to be able to just airdrop to all your members.
Well, these are all really interesting and unique, you know, things to offer your users. Where do you get inspiration from, or how do you kind of flesh out these ideas for expanding the app and adding new features?
Yeah, sure. So the gamified thing, like the user rewards and stuff, I always wanted to add that because I feel like I'm a reward person. If I work hard during the week, there has to be something at the end of the week. Like even if it's just like one of my favorite drinks or a slice of chocolate cake or, you know, like something, I have to have a reward or a good workout. And then I felt like the users would feel like more appreciated if they had that as well. So that's where that came from. And it's also just fun to gamify things. The Web3 community is actually from another startup called Strutter Sports that we partnered with. And we just thought it was a really great collaboration because they were doing this cool thing with NFTs and we wanted this exclusive membership. So it just ended up being this great partnership that we have.
So one thing that I hear from consumer facing startups in Houston is there's not that big of a community. There's not a lot of people for advice. There's not a lot of funding a lot of times. What's been your experience having a consumer facing business, and what were the challenges and the opportunities you saw?
Yeah. So like I mentioned before, the partnership possibilities are amazing. Like people love brands love to partner with other consumer products, and that's been really fantastic. And being able to connect with our users so easily is really great. Like I love meeting everyone at events and chatting with them on the app. But the funding side of it has been really tough. I've tried many different ways of doing it, pitched to many different people, and it just seems like it's not quite there in the, it's because it's sports tech, which is, you know, not a new thing, but it's not really a Houston thing yet. It's getting there. I know there's a lot of people building on it, and, you know, even where you're working with Innovation Map and Sports Map, and there's a bunch of cool stuff coming. But when I first started raising a pre-seed last year, it was kind of, people were a little hesitant and didn't really understand the tech. And then also it's scary to be an investor investing in like consumer tech like that. So I think that you kind of have to search for areas that are specifically with those theses, like a Silicon Valley or a Boston. And so that we can almost like bring that knowledge back here to Houston, and that we can do it here in Houston ourselves.
I think sports tech, there is a lot of opportunity in Houston, but there's also a lot of challenges just in the fact that sports tech can literally mean any type of company. Like
that's very true. Yeah.
Be a teammate, this kind of social element, or it could be like a B2B software component between like a venue and, you know, I don't know, their vendors or something like that. Like it can really mean anything within that touches sports. And so that almost has been, I think, a detriment to growing this quote unquote industry, because it's like not cohesive, like a normal industry might be. But at the same time, yeah, there's endless opportunities because as individuals, like everyone kind of taps into that sports world at some point as a fan, from a business opportunity perspective. So
I think that's a really good point. I've never thought of it like that, that it's just too broad and it kind of needs to be like really sectionized, you know, like put into a package so that we all know what it really is.
I mean, it's like the broad element of it, it makes sense to me, like a technology that touches some aspects of the sporting world.
Yeah.
But there's just so many different elements to it where it could be, you know, like I said, this like fan engagement or something like that, or it could be really like a software B2B play, which I don't know. It just means so much to different
people. It does mean so much. And sports is such a huge industry. I mean, there's so much going on, and Houston has such an incredible sports scene. Mm-hmm. Go Astros. But yeah, I mean, I love it here because it's so bursting with energy all the time. And there's so much sports stuff going on. There's so much engagement. And I can't wait for us to just like grow as a sports and sports tech city.
So I guess, you know, speaking to some of the other challenges you face, I feel like one thing too about sports world is it does seem to skew men. So I wonder if you have any thoughts on being a female founder in a male-dominated industry, or maybe other aspects of the challenges of just being a founder.
I have a lot of feelings and thoughts about this, Natalie. So I was just on the panel that I just did at South By was The Future is Female. And actually, it was great because we had this amazing turnout of all these wonderful women in the audience. And we were so passionate about it because there is such a gender gap here. And I talk about it all the time. I push it all the time. There's just, I haven't quite figured out exactly what it is, but when I've gone in to try and raise funds, I've had the, oh, you're a mom, you don't have time to do this, or it's just you're not able to do this. You know, like they're always looking for my male counterpart, and that just really makes me even angrier. So when I go in and I explain, like, no, I'm the founder of this business and I run this business, I do often get more than not often, I often get weird looks and questions and whatnot, which I understand if you're investing your money in someone, you've got to know everything. But just because I'm a woman and I'm a mom and it's a sports tech business, that does not mean that I cannot run it. And I have been doing it and I built it myself. So there's no reason why anyone should think that it's not possible. And I feel that there's this stigma against women because they do have to juggle so many other things. But what I tell them is that the reason you're an amazing founder is because you can juggle a million things. You are a multitasker because you're female. Like, we can do all these different things at once and still accomplish a bunch of other things at the same time. So because we're multitasking and it's in our DNA and in our development and in our blood, we can be the CFO and the CTO and the social media manager all at the same time in a startup, because that's what we were born and raised to do. So I think that instead of underestimating women in business and saying they can't do it, I mean, if it was me, I would put them above the rest, because the multitasking is like literally the number one thing you need to be able to do in a startup.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a good point. Like, most women, I think more often than men, have a lot on their plate and they're juggling a lot of different things. So
yeah,
it's not a detriment.
It's a gift. Yeah. It's a power. It's a superpower.
Lots of practice, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess when you're thinking about the future of teammates, and you've already talked about some of these evolutions and updates that you've been able to bring, what would be your kind of like maybe the next year and then 5 year, 10 year roadmap for teammates? What's on your bucket list to be able to achieve?
So what I'm working on next for the features is a subscription upgrade for each sport, where there's a game to play for each sport and you can peer-to-peer betting on the app, which is super exciting. So I'd love to implement all that so that you can take your game to like the next level. And then growing the events in all different cities would be so awesome, because I mean, there's just such a special moment at these big community sports events where everyone's like playing each other and hanging out. It really creates this like organic, active lifestyle vibe that is just so fun to be around. So expanding those, adding in the upgrades, partnering with some more incredible businesses, because they've been so great with us. And just growing the user base so that I can meet my goal of getting more people active, getting more people connected, allowing people to not feel alone. Because, you know, when I moved around so much, I often had that lonely feeling. And that's why I don't want people to feel that. I want people to feel like, oh, I can go on the teammates app and I can go join something fun today and meet some new people. And it's no pressure. And it's just, you know, a casual meetup. So just connecting people, you know, and people that travel and see other places can meet people all over the world through this app. So it's such a fun thing to be doing.
Well, we talked a little bit about the challenge of being a consumer-facing business in Houston, but how have you made the most of what the Houston startup and innovation ecosystem has to offer? I know you mentioned SoftTech and being a part of that, which is a Houston-based organization. So I guess talk in general about the way you've been able to tap into the ecosystem.
So the startup ecosystem in Houston has been wonderful. Honestly, the people, anyone listening hasn't been to Houston, the people here are so nice. Everybody is so kind and so nice and so willing to help and be supportive. I found that the startup hubs like the Ion and the Canon were so useful for networking and going to events. There's always something going on that you can go to. And there's always people to talk to. And there's wonderful people driving it and trying to make it a bigger, even bigger ecosystem than it is. And now that they've started to launch, well, to implement all these accelerator programs for startups like Greentown and SoftTech, it allows startups like myself to go in and get funding and, you know, have some support so that you don't feel so alone and there's people you can talk to. And I can message any of those people today and be like, hey, I need so-and-so's contact or help with this person. And they'll get it for me, which is so great. And then actually what was wonderful is every time I send out a press release here, for different things, media always responds, which I love because when I used to do music in LA and stuff, I never got responses on anything. So it's been so nice that people actually respond to you and say, thank you. I'm so excited to read it. And people like you and, Modern Luxury and some other awesome companies that we've got articles with. It's been so helpful. It's so helpful to have that stuff as a startup to be able to push out and market and show, hey, look, I got this written about me. It really gives you a good reputation. And yeah, we're so appreciative and grateful of all that in Houston.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like everything you said boils back to your original point of just people being nice.
Yeah, it's just people being nice. It's so nice.
Good
community. It's a Southern hospitality, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like to your point of being able to reach out to anybody and get that warm intro, I think that is also something very unique to Houston because we might not have, you know, the biggest startup ecosystem in the country, but at least we've got a small but mighty and friendly one.
It really is. It really is. And even if you need like a hug or a chat or some advice, like there's always someone I can like text or call or go to and they will drop what they're doing and help out. And that's like such a nice feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story and everything about teammates. And I know a lot of people now are probably itching to pick up and log onto the app to do some sports and socialization.
I hope so. Come on, guys, you got to get out and get active.
I mean, it's so fun. Why not?
It's so fun. Have fun. Enjoy things for sure. Thank you so much for having me, Natalie. This was great.
Thanks so much.
You know, I'm a huge fan of Innovation Map and everything you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Well, thanks again for joining me and we'll talk soon.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.